2 Corinthians chapter number 6, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, if I could have you stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, and we're going to read two verses, verse 1 and verse 2. And I'm going to draw your attention to one phrase in verse number 2, and that's where we'll take off from that phrase. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Then we have in parentheses, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Now is the day. Now is the day. Now is the day. Now is the day. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I do ask, Lord, that you speak to us in a real sweet way this morning. And Lord, we want to not only feel your presence and know that you're here, but Lord, we want to hear from you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as the word of God is preached, that, Lord, our hearts would be open. We thank you, Lord, for this great assembling. We look around, our hearts are full. You filled the house of God once again. And Lord, not only that, but in our children's church, in our junior's church, in our primary church, in our nursery, all over this plant, Lord, there are young people that are sitting under the preaching and teaching of the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would be active in all of the services. Stir our hearts, Lord. Help us to get something from heaven today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. If you've got a pen and you don't mind marking in your Bible, I think it would be good to underline those four words, now is the day. Now is the day. I read something that really struck me, and every once in a while you read something that really stops and makes you think. Even if you don't agree completely with it, it makes you stop and think. And I read this week. Can I just give you a little quote? Here's the quote I read. The greatest sin of this generation is the sin of procrastination. Did you hear that? The greatest sin of this generation is the sin of procrastination. Now, I don't know if I really 100% agree with that, that it may be the greatest sin, but it may be a lot higher on the list than we understand. I think something, folks, that we ought to think about this morning. Could I just present to you for a few minutes introduction a word that we a lot of times take for granted, and that word is this: today. Today. Amen. Today. Let me just have you look, listen, stop living life as a blur. And we all say this, boy, the best way to live life is just live it one day at a time. I think every single morning when we get up, God in heaven reaches down and gives us one of the sweetest gifts that he can ever give to an individual, and that is one more day of life. You know, yesterday's fantastic, folks, and we can certainly have a lot of wonderful memories of yesterday, but we can't go and live yesterday. And so if you're living in the yesterdays, you're actually wasting today. And tomorrow's a great hope and a great promise, but you know the honest truth is, we have no promise, no guarantee that a one of us will have a chance to walk through the threshold of tomorrow. But what we do have is today. We have this gift that God's given us, 24 beautiful hours, one more day of life that God's extended to us. And you know what? I think perhaps that the greatest sin of this generation may be wasting today. Wasting today. You know what? Let me ask some of you worry warts to just give up that. I know it's a hobby and a habit, but just give it up, okay? Listen, stop worrying about something that you have no control over. Listen, put your hands on something that you do have control over and squeeze everything you can out of today. I think sometimes we live in the world of regrets where we spend all of our time in the yesterdays thinking about, oh, if I'd only done this. Or, oh, listen, Brother Jerry, if I could just relive one little section of my life, if I could just have back 2 or 3 years, if I could just unmake one decision, oh my goodness, guess what? You can't. You can't. Now, what are you going to do? Lose today over it? Hey, you know what? Put it under the blood. Get it forgiven. Go on. Listen, we waste so much of our today's in regret over yesterday, or so much of our today's in worry over tomorrow. Hey, listen, God's given you a gift. This is the only, what's the date today? What's the date? 25th. This is the only September 25th, 2005 you'll ever get. This is the only one you ever get. It's a one of a kind. Listen, why don't you use it for the glory of God? Listen, don't put off today what God wants you to accomplish. Don't put off till tomorrow something that's important that needs to be done today. Husbands, let me tell you something. Just love your wives today. Love your wives today, because in one of the tomorrows ahead, if you no longer have her, you're going to be glad that you didn't waste today when you did have her. Wives, love your husbands today. Love your husbands today. You know why? Because there's going to be a tomorrow somewhere down the road. Probably, you gals tend to outlive us. You just do. I don't know why, but you do. But there's probably in your life going to be, and some of you look, why are you smiling about this? Don't look so excited. But there is a someday in the future where you're not going to have to put up for us. And then you'll miss us. I promise. Then you'll wish that you could find our dirty clothes laying all over the floor and all of that stuff. You're going to feel bad then. You know, listen. If you've got each other today, then love each other today. Hey, you know what? If you've got your children today, love them today. There's no promises, folks. There's no promises. What? Brother Jerry, I don't even like to think about what you're talking about. I know it's the worst nightmare of any parent in the world, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to, one of these days, if the unforeseeable, if the unnatural happens, you don't want to look back at a life where you wasted the opportunity to pour your love and your life into your children every day that God gave you that opportunity to do it. Hey, I think today's pretty important. I love this little phrase here, now is the day. Now is the day. Now is the day. Hey, are you overdue thanking somebody? Now is the day. Now is the day. I mean, so many times there's people in our lives in which we ought to take some time from time to time and show some appreciation towards. Well, I'm going to do it one of these days. How about now? How about today? Wouldn't today be a good day? Wouldn't today be a good day to take the few minutes to set that child up on your lap and read him a story? Wouldn't that be a good day? This is as good a day as any to do that. Wouldn't it be? It's just as good a day as any to pick up the phone and make a phone call that's long overdue to an old friend who meant something to you. How about that person that won you to the Lord Jesus Christ? When's the last time? Hey, I got an idea. Why not today? Why not today, you see? And so, folks, we got to be careful of this matter of procrastination. Now, let's go back to our verse here, because I want to go ahead and finish that phrase. This verse says, now is the day of salvation. It's preceded by this phrase, behold, now is the accepted time. I'm going against everything that a Baptist preacher is supposed to do, and I've got a two-point outline instead of three today. So I'm sorry, folks, but there's two things that God spoke to my heart this week about that I feel like we cannot and should not put off. It would be a great sin. The sin of procrastination would be a great sin to procrastinate two decisions if you need to make them today. Number one, if you are lost, now is the day to become a child of God. If you are lost, now is the day to become a child of God. You say, why, Brother Jerry? Because you have no promise of tomorrow. And you know what? You're like all of us. You have a whole bunch of yesterdays full of sin that you're going to have to stand before and answer to God over one of these days. Let me have you go to Acts chapter number 24, if I can. Acts chapter number 24. And I want to show you an individual that was a procrastinator. Acts chapter number 24. There's a man by the name of Felix. And God came and visited him. God spoke to his heart. God gave him an opportunity to be saved. But you know what he did? He didn't take advantage of today. And the Holy Spirit was saying, now is the day. Now is the day. Now is the day. And the devil was sitting on the other shoulder saying into his ear, you can always do it later. You can always do it later. You can always do it later. Acts chapter number 24 and verse number 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Praise the Lord. When somebody's opened hearted enough in this day and age just to listen to a presentation of the gospel. Attaboy, Felix. Good for you, Felix. I knock on the door of houses every day and get the same answer. Oh, Americans are way too busy to be bothered by somebody that just wants to stand there and take 15 or 20 minutes of their time and show them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Heaven forbid, I mean, you're pulling weeds, or heaven forbid, you're mowing the yard. That's more important than where you're going to spend eternity forever and ever and ever. Oh, you got to run to the movies. You got to run down the grocery store, the Little League game. Game's about to start. There's always a reason why we can't hear today. Well, I got to give Felix this. At least he stopped and listened to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm discouraged. My heart's heavy over this matter of the hard-heartedness of Americans today in this matter of not even giving God a chance, not even willing to give an ear to the gospel. Many, many times, not even willing to take a gospel tract from somebody's hand. Oh, I'll tell you what, I worry about America. Brother Jerry, are you surprised at the things that are happening? I don't think any Christian that has any discernment in this room over the signs of the times and the condition of America is surprised of what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years, and especially the last few weeks. God's knocking on the door of a hard-hearted nation who won't even take the time to show up. I mean, Sunday's play day. It's not church day. I gotta run and do this. I gotta go and do this. I got this hobby. I don't have time to hear from God. I don't have time to hear from heaven. Well, Felix, at least, because I think his wife, who was a Jewess, the verse seems to indicate that maybe she worked on him and was trying to get him to listen to Paul. Now watch this. He heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And then we see Paul here in verse 25. And as he, or Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And you know what? All of those are good sermon subjects for this time in America. Amen. Amen. We've got a whole nation, if they do go to church, want to run somewhere to get their ears tickled. Want to run somewhere that they can sit for an hour or two and be entertained. Be patted on the back. And where's the old leather-lung prophets of God that preached and reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come? And boy, I'll tell you what, Felix got under old-fashioned Holy Spirit conviction. It says right there in the middle of the verse, Felix trembled. He trembled. I'll tell you what, I've seen that. Any preacher that stood up and preached the gospel have watched the visible physical effect that it has on a lost sinner who falls under Holy Spirit conviction. I mean, how many times have you watched the knuckles turn white as they grip the pew? How many times you see them staring down hard because they don't want to look up at the preacher? How many times you see them set themselves hard like a stone? Sometimes you can physically see God's all over them. God's convicting them. God's trying to bring that point of decision. But wait a minute, man alive, to see somebody get that close and then back away from an opportunity, it's heartbreaking. But watch what Felix says in verse 25. And Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season I will call for thee. Brother Jerry, what happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened right here. On this shoulder, the Holy Spirit was sitting there saying, now is the day, now is the day, now is the day, now is the day. And the devil said over here saying, you can do it next week, you can do it next month. You don't have to do it right now. Listen, you've got a life to live. You'd have to give up certain things. You know what would happen to you politically? You know what? How much you would fall out of the graces of the Roman government if this got back that you have converted to Christianity? Hey, you can always do it later. The devil always has this big old giant list of excuses why it would be so much better to get saved tomorrow than today. But God says this, now is the day. Now is the day of salvation. Why, Brother Jerry? You have no promise of tomorrow and neither do I. Amen. You know how people end up in hell? This is how they end up in hell. They end up in hell by saying this, I will get saved tomorrow. Every today they have the same answer. I will get saved tomorrow. I will get saved later. You know how many people in hell thought that they was going to have it tomorrow and didn't have it tomorrow? Oh, my goodness sakes. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart this morning, if you're beginning to feel Holy Spirit conviction, listen, that's nothing that I can do. No man can stand up here and reconstruct or construct the English language and form words and sentences in such a way to make happen what's happening in the heart of a Christian who's feeling, or I'm sorry, a lost person who's feeling Holy Spirit conviction. There's no explanation other than God. Listen, if you're on the inside, you're fretting and you're being worried. And I'm going to tell you, God has a way of speaking to you and working on you. And you're thinking about eternity and what would happen and where would you be. Listen, God's speaking today. He's speaking. Amen. Brother Jerry, what would happen if I just, during the invitation, just busted up in the aisle and come up here and grabbed somebody's hand and said, show me how to get saved, and just decided that I was going to get saved today? What in the world would happen? Let me tell you what happened. Every sin you've ever committed be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! Did you hear that? Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know what? You can walk in here a lost sinner and walk out a cleaned up child of God. You can be forgiven of every sin. Every sin that's on your eternal record in heaven can be wiped away with the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus takes his righteousness and puts it on your human record and takes your sin and puts it on his record. He has substituted for you. He's willing to take that for you. He already paid for all that on Calvary's cross. Every sin you've ever committed would be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me give you Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our sins from us. That's what would happen if you got saved today. How far is the east from the west? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. All I know is the east is way that way and the west is way that way, and the two will never come together. That's how far God's taken our sins and removed us from us. Hebrews 8:12, I love this. God says this, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. No more. You know what? God just chooses to forget some things. Let me help some of you Christians that maybe are struggling over the sins of the past. You've gone to God and you've confessed sins. You've claimed 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yet, a month or 2 months or 3 months later, the devil wants to come and sit on your shoulder and remind you about those sins, and you get to feeling guilty about them. Or maybe a preacher preaches on that sin and you go into a 3 or 4 day depression over it, and you're worried about it. You go to God again and you say, God, I need to ask forgiveness of this sin. Let me tell you what God's response is. What sin? Did you hear that? What sin? Well, the sin you're reminding me about. I'm not reminding you about that. I promised you that I would remember it no more. Now, folks, if God's forgotten about it, he's not going to remind you about it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That's why nobody asks me to remind them about anything. You know why? Because I can't remind you about something that I'm going to forget. That's why God gave me a wife. One of the reasons. God gave me a wife. I was talking on the phone last night. A couple guys came in and stopped in to talk to me. They needed to talk to me right away. I was talking to somebody on the phone. I said, hey, can I call you back? He said, oh, sure. I said, I got to take care of a situation. I'll call you right back. I hung the phone up. I talked to these two guys. Before I talked to them, I said, now listen to me. Before you leave here, you tell me, call so-and-so back. You got that? Both of you. One of you two's got to remember that, okay? All right. I spent about 15 minutes talking with them. One of them, they started walking out the door. I grabbed my pen, began to do something else. One of them stuck their head back in there. Hey, don't forget to call so-and-so. Amen. Somebody, out of three of us, one of us had a memory. That was a blessing, you know. Amen. Amen, you know. You know, I hope that you're blessed with a short memory. I mean this. I hope you're blessed with a short memory. Some of you get aggravated because I don't remember. Listen, it's one of the greatest blessings of my life. You ought to be glad I don't remember everything y'all have pulled, amen? And I hope you don't remember everything I've pulled and every fault I've got. You know, why can't we be more like God? We say we forgive someone, but we refuse to forget. Well, God doesn't do that. You know what he does? He just says, you know what? You're forgiven, and it's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I will remember it no more. You go remind God about it, he doesn't even know what you're talking about. That's a blessing. Now, what would happen if I got saved today? What I'm telling you is this. The Bible supports this. Every sin you have ever committed will be washed away. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Be washed away at the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that, something else would happen if you got saved today. You would receive a new heart. Let me have you go to Ezekiel because I want to show you this. I think this is tremendous. What a blessing this is. You would receive a new heart. Ezekiel chapter number 11. One of the sweetest portions of scripture you'll ever read in all your life. Ezekiel chapter number 11. And let's look at verse number 19. I love this. Ezekiel chapter number 11, verse number 19, God says this, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their ways upon their own heads, saith the Lord. I don't know if any of you have ever heard this sermon before. But I used to have it on tape years ago, and I wore that thing out. I listened to that tape till it self-destructed in my tape player, and I've never found it. I haven't had it since then. But old Dr. Lester Roloff used to preach a message called Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. And if you've never heard that, you ought to get that. As only, a matter of fact, if you get that, you get me one, amen. As only he could tell it. He spends the whole message talking about a man that had a sinful heart, a lost man that had a sinful heart. And he went to see Dr. Law. And Dr. Law said, let me ask you a quick questions. And he began to ask him a few questions about his behavior and about the do's and don'ts and the shouts and thou shalt nots. And he found out real quick that that man had broken the laws of God. And he said, oh, I don't need to talk to you any further. I know exactly what your problem is. You have a heart problem. You need a heart transplant. The man, brother Roloff, and the man said, oh, that's a little extreme. You need a heart transplant. That's what your problem is. You need a heart transplant. He said, well, I think I'll just go get a second opinion. He said, you go get a second opinion all you want, but I'm telling you, you need a heart transplant. So he left Dr. Law because he didn't like that diagnosis. And what he went down the road and he saw a little shingle hanging on the hanging outside on a building, and it said, Dr. Religion. And so he said, you know what? All of these things I'm feeling that's wrong with my heart. Maybe if I just go see Dr. Religion. Dr. Religion said, can I help? Yeah, I'm having pains in my heart. I've got this horrible condition. I feel awful. And he said, old Dr. Law says I need a heart transplant. He said, you don't need a heart transplant. All you need to do, listen, you go out and I want you to do five things nice for your neighbors this week, and it will cure your heart condition. And he talks about how he went out and he did those five nice things. And you know what? Sure enough, his heart felt so much better for a while. And he was kind of skipping and thinking maybe that's all it took. But wait a minute, after two or three or four days, the condition came back and the guilt came back. And listen, it didn't help him long term. So he went back and said, well, you know what your problem is? Have you ever been baptized? Have you ever joined a church? Maybe you just need a little bit of that. And he kept giving him all these things that he could do. And that's what religion does. Religion is always telling you if you'll just do some work, it'll take care of your sinful heart. Boy, as Dr. Roloff had preached that entire message, he went and talked about all the things that Dr. Religion told him to do and how it only helped short term. It never really fixed the problem. And finally, out of desperation, he went back in to see Dr. Law. Is Dr. Law okay? I give up. All right, if it's a heart transplant I need, then give me a heart transplant. He said, I can't give you a heart transplant. He said, I thought you told me that I needed a heart transplant. You do need a heart transplant, but I can't do it. I've got to refer you to another doctor. His name is Dr. Grace. Amen. You know, Dr. Law will diagnose the problem, but only Dr. Grace can do the operation. Amen. I love that. I just love that. Now listen, here's our problem. If you wonder so many times why you fight the battles you fight, and why your heart feels the way it does, and why you're not satisfied, and why I've tried this, and I've tried this, and I've tried this, and it's only been a short-term fix. Listen, if you got saved today, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, your heart would change. Your heart would change, you see. And so if you got saved today, you'd get all your sins washed away, and your heart would change. And Luke chapter 15, let's go there. You would cause rejoicing in heaven. Luke chapter 15, oh my goodness sakes. You want to set off a party in heaven, then get born again. There's nothing like what happens in heaven. There's nothing on earth that can happen that'll cause such rejoicing in heaven than for a sinner to come to repentance. Amen. Let me read you just a short little parable here, starting in Luke 15, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, and saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, look right up here, and we're going to go on to the second point. But let me just share something with you. If you're lost here today, you're not saved, God asked me to tell you something today. This is what he wanted me to tell you. Now is the day. Now is the day. They want to rejoice over in heaven. They want to rejoice over you being saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on September 25th, 2005. They want to rejoice this morning. The party's all set up. They're just ready to cut loose. All that's waiting is for you to make that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What two decisions, Brother Jerry, did God ask you to speak to us about this morning? Number one, if you are lost, now is the day to become a child of God. Number two, let me talk to the saved people. If you are saved but backslidden, now is the day to return to the Father. Now is the day to return to the Father. Now is the day to return to the Father. Brother Jerry, you used that terrible B word. My goodness sakes, use any word but the B word. You know what, folks? The honest truth is, if you can look over the course of your life and there was a time that you're closer to the Lord than you are right now, then you have backslidden. You've backslidden. Don't look at me like you've never done it. Amen. God has reclaimed me in my life from backsliding. And if you are backslidden, he wants to reclaim you. We jump down in Luke chapter 15. Are you still there? We jump down to a wonderful story beginning in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Father, give me. You ought to underline those two words, give me. That's how you backslide. You start being more worried about yourself than you are the will of God. You're more worried about what you want than what the Father wants. You get your eyes focused on you and you'll start backsliding. You keep them on Jesus and you'll be just fine. Amen. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Notice this next phrase in verse 17. And when he came to himself. I think that's one of the most important phrases in all the Bible. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now notice the difference here. In verse 12, it was give me, and in verse number 19, it was make me. Give me will lead to backsliding. Make me will get you right with God. You see?